Welcome, listeners, to another episode of your favorite podcast, The Pursuit of Perfectness. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ellen Matthews.
And I'm the other one of your co-hosts, and my name is Dennis Pacheco.
Oh, Dennis, it's so good to see you again. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
So let's remind our listeners and ourselves of this podcast, The Pursuit of Perfectness. It's a podcast where two average Joes, you and I, come together and talk about why we are so darn hard on ourselves and why we try to be perfect. And we kind of navigate through that and try to come up with strategies to live an easier life.
And then through osmosis, through your ear bones, you will gain from our wisdom.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounded really pompous, and I'm sorry.
Apology accepted.
No, I was talking to the listener.
Oh, okay. Retracted. And I would say this is also 2.0 of our podcast. The 1.0 was a lot of interviews with folks about perfectionism, which we are going to do. We're not dropping that completely, but this 2.0 version is diving into certain topics. And Dennis, why don't you introduce today's topic?
Sure. So today we're going to talk about being cool. Times we felt cool. What is coolness? How does one quantify it? When do you got it? When do you flaunt it?
What's the perfect way to be cool?
What's the perfect way to be perfectly cool, right?
That's the tie-in to the show theme.
And that's what we're going to talk about today. We solicited some listener opinions. We got a lot of stories. We're going to share those with you. We're going to tell those listeners whether they did things perfectly cool and how they can replicate that in the future.
Exactly. But before we dive in, let's do some pleasantries. Dennis, how's your last few weeks been? Did anything perfect happen or almost perfect?
I had a really nice Thanksgiving. With friends. It's called a Friendsgiving, if you will. With friend of the pod, Jenny B, and friend of the pod and composer of the podcast's music, Keith Bergun. They are happily wedded couple, and so it was they had Thanksgiving at their place. We brought a ton of food, so much food. Everybody else also brought a ton of food. So they started with a baseline of they ordered a bunch of pizzas. And they were like, nobody has to bring food. And of course, everybody brought food because it's a Friendsgiving. And it's like part of the joy.
No one's upset about too much food.
Yeah. And like the gift that you're giving us is letting us bring you food and enjoying it.
Yes.
And so we got to spend time with friends who were amazing people, got to meet new friends. I made 3 dishes. For this thing, I made I made hot honey butter chicken wings in the air fryer. Mm. And I made sheet tray carrots with a recipe I got from Dig. It used to be called Dig In. Folks, they got all the recipes online. They share the recipes, and it was super good. So those were a big hit. The wings were amazing. The carrots were a big hit. And then I made like red beans and rice, but I fucked it up.
Oh, no.
I fucked it up.
Ugh, and everything sounded perfect until this
it was not a hit.
Moment.
Yeah.
You still brought it, though?
I still brought it. I made 2 errors in my calculations. I used brown rice instead of white rice, which just changes everything because the cooking times are so different. And then I used 2 cans of beans instead of 1, and it made it too watery, and it was all mushy, and it needed salt, and I tried to cook it down so that it got... the consistency wasn't so mushy, and it was mostly successful, but it still needed salt. It wasn't bad. It was fine.
Was everybody like, yum?
No, I think people like looked at it and were like, pass. Because there was so much more food, and I got to emphasize, the carrots, huge hit. The chicken wings, people lost their minds. The chicken wings were so good.
Legendary.
They were so good. And it was very nice. It was perfect. except for that one little blemish. How was what's been up with you?
I also had a Friendsgiving. Rajiv, my boyfriend, and I hosted another couple over. We also made chicken. No more turkey on Thanksgiving. We made chicken cutlets and ordered sides from not Dig, but a local place here. And it was super fun. I feel like COVID has, you know, because I didn't go home to visit my parents for Thanksgiving over COVID. And I feel like now Thanksgiving is like no longer a travel holiday. So mom and dad, I know you're listening to this. We will visit in December. Don't worry. But I just, yeah, I feel like Thanksgiving is now like, for me, not going to be a travel holiday. It's too close to December, you know?
So you're traveling on Christmas over?
That is correct.
Okay. You said that so like I'm testifying before Congress.
As of this moment, those are my current plans to the best of my knowledge.
As I recall. Your Honor, Your Honors, that's not what they call Congress people. Anyway. We're not on trial here.
So it was perfect. I would say it was perfect. And I'm excited to travel in December. But I was excited not to travel because travel is stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to leave my apartment. And I got to say, that was like really, really nice not to be on a train with everybody else, you know?
Yeah. So you had a few people over?
A few people over. Friendsgiving. Nice. It was a Friendsgiving kind of year.
Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it was.
Just in case the listeners are like, well, why didn't they have Friendsgiving together? They're friends, as far as I know. And it's true. Listeners, we are friends.
We are friends.
And we actually did have a nice dinner.
Yeah. The four of us.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Robin. Dennis.
The rest?
Ellen.
Yeah.
Just to reiterate our name. That was so fun. It was
very nice.
That was like a pre-Friendsgiving.
Yeah, it was great. So don't worry about us.
We didn't have a falling out.
We're good.
Can you imagine if we did and we continued this podcast? That would be dedication.
And we had to just pretend it. Yeah.
Oh, that would be so good. I almost wish we had a falling out just so we could do that personal challenge.
Well,
oh, I'm getting a note from Chris to fight. Okay,
cool.
Our producer, Chris, thank you so much.
All right, I'm going to pick a fight with you. You're too good at your job.
I'm too fragile. Okay.
You're too good at your job.
Okay.
Yeah, big deal.
I thought I was going to have to deal with a real insult, and I would crumble to pieces because I'm sensitive, which is a good lead into coolness.
Yes.
I feel like cool people just don't care.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. What's
are you what's, like which lost is the all, opposite all of the, me? All the muscles in your neck just like like... You just lost all feeling in your neck.
I know this is a
very cool, very cool
audio forum, but Dennis, if you could physically embody what cool is, what would that look like?
The Fonz.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Dumb question. Of course. All right. Yes.
No, not really. For me, really? Do you have an answer? Because I have an answer.
Well, mine was the shaking.
Oh, you mean, if I could physically embody? Oh, I see. Yeah. I get it now. What would I look? Okay, what is my physicality?
What's your physicality for cool? We'll put the clip on Instagram, so no pressure.
I guess it would be like...
Yes!
But I think
yes!
I also
yes!
I think I just look stoned.
No, but okay, so listeners, Dennis's eyes were kind of like half open, leaned back, like... Totally the epitome of like not caring, I think.
Yeah. It was like a you come to me.
Yes.
Attitude.
And I would say because it's an audio forum, the sound of being cool.
Uh-huh.
Silence. No?
Keep that in. Keep that in. I just feel like cool.
It's
I wanted
like
to be cool.
The less you say, the cooler you are, right?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties with our mouths and voices. Yeah. But question for you, Dennis. Has there ever been a time in your life? This sounds like a backhanded comment. Has there ever been a time in your life where you felt cool?
Ouch. That's,
I know that sounds really bad because it sounds like I'm implying you're not cool, which I'm not. I think you're cool. But like, could you talk about a time in your life where you're like, God, I felt cool? That moment, I felt really cool.
You know, I did have an answer, but first I just want to get back to like, you made me think of like, if there was one figure in pop culture in your entire life that you were like, that is the epitome of coolness.
Yes. Yeah.
For me, and this is going to sound, I don't know, Marty McFly.
Marty McFly, no, I can see that.
He could skateboard. He could shred on guitar. He could fight. All the ladies, including his mom, wanted him. Which, yeah, that part's a little, I don't need that. I don't need, you know,
we understand stuff.
but the other stuff, I'm on board. Like, he looked cool. He had that cool denim and
jacket
and orange vest combination.
Oh, the vest. It was a vest. Yeah.
Yeah. But for me, the main thing was like, he could shred. He could shred on guitar. Man. And that's one of the main things that inspired me to play guitar. I just got a brand new fucking Fender Telecaster. I'm so fucking pumped. Anyway, that's, I feel cool.
Oh, you got that guitar you wanted?
I did. I did. It's so pretty. And when
do
I
you
play,
feel
and
cool?
I got a, yes, I got an amp that like blast sound, which I can't turn up too high because I live in a building with other people, but I stand in front of it. I stand with my guitar strap, you know, so I can stand, and I shred. Well, no, I don't shred. I play power chords and scales, I guess, and just feel the vibrations of the music. And I feel extremely cool, even though no one is watching me. Yeah. Sometimes I'll post videos of myself on Instagram of me playing guitar, and I'll feel kind of cool.
Guitars are objectively cool.
Mm-hmm. I think like when I'm on my bike, I have a very fast bike. It's not a very nice, cool, expensive bike, but it's fast. And when I'm on my bike, sometimes I'll feel really cool. You know, weaving in and out of traffic and, you know.
Yeah. I think fast cars, people feel cool in fast cars. So fast bikes, fast vehicles, guitars. Yeah.
Just knifing through cool things. About you, Ellen?
So I was thinking about a time in my life when I felt cool. And then this made me think so philosophically about what coolness is. So in college, I got invited to this party at a someone's apartment. And it was just one of those nights. Like, I didn't really know the people. I knew the one person that invited me. I didn't know anybody else. And you ever have one of those nights where you're just like on fire, like social wise, you're like so funny. Like you're just like nailing everything. And it was one of those nights. And I was like, I couldn't believe it was happening. Cause I'm a very nice person to be around, but I'm not like a late night talk show host, right? But like my charisma was just on that night. So charming, so funny, so witty. And everyone was like, I feel like some people were chanting my name at some point. Like I just was rocking it. I couldn't even tell you like exactly what I said or did, but I was just like making zingers, like just being the life of the party. And then I remember being like, I have to leave now and never see any of these people because I will never do better than this. Like this is the peak I could ever be. to these people. And so I remember, like, I left the party when I felt like, you know, the high note had happened. And then I remember, you know, the next day I was, you know, we were all drinking. So the next day I was like a little bit hungover walking on campus to go get food. And I ran into two people from the party and they were like, Alan, I remember being like, no, no, you can't see me like this. Cause I was all like tired and hungover and in sweats and like not feeling that charisma anymore. And I just remember feeling like, oh no, I've been exposed.
But that first impression they had of you is going to be, that's going to be like the baseline of the way they see you forever.
Maybe. Or they could be like, oh, what a phony. I saw her again and she sucked. You know?
And no, so I don't think so.
Well, thank you. But that got me thinking about like, well, what does it mean to be cool? And I think coolness is such a facade. It's such like a fleeting moment, right? Like you can be cool for a second, but nobody who really knows you thinks you're cool. Because if someone really knows you, they're going to know all the nerdy, weird things about you. So if someone thinks you're cool, they don't really know you.
Hmm.
That was the takeaway I got from that. Chew on that, listeners. Chew on it.
I think that's probably true, but yeah, I think when you start to really deeply appreciate someone on a deeper level, that's a different thing.
So I have an idea.
Okay.
What if we take a little quick break, and when we come back, why don't we go to our listeners for stories about times when they felt cool?
Yeah.
Do you like that idea?
I like that idea.
I just came up with it.
That's amazing. Maybe we'll talk about that. My story about when I was at my 26th birthday party in my apartment and I felt the coolest I've ever felt in my whole life.
Oh my God. I love that. We'll start with that.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
And we're back.
We're back.
So let me just tell that story real quick. So I was, it was my 26th birthday. I lived in Crown Heights, Brooklyn with two other dudes who I went to college with. And we had this great space for parties. My roommate, whose name was Joe. He's still around. He's just not my roommate anymore. Relax.
Understood.
He had a record player. And so he was spinning records, which is very cool.
That's very cool.
This was, I was 26, so it was 2004. And it was my birthday and I invited a bunch of really cool, amazing, excellent people. And they showed up and they were there and we were just having such a blast. Everybody, the alcohol was flowing. We were all feeling great. People were dancing with each other. It was a dance party. People were dancing all over the dance floor. It was amazing. And I was dancing and I'm not a huge dancer, but I was having such a great time. There's pictures of me just looking like blissed out and kind of wasted and just like full of energy and I look amazing, by the way. And and at a certain point in the night, the part, I don't remember how it happened, but we're dancing and suddenly I'm crowd surfing
what?
In my apartment. The apartment is packed with people and they're passing me around. I'm crowd surfing. It was like effortless, like at a concert. And I felt this is the highlight of my entire life.
Wow.
I was charming. I was flirting with ladies. I was people were loving my energy and it was great. And every birthday since has been a massive disappointment.
I mean, that's hard to live up to. Were you anxious at all when you were crowd surfing? My first thought is like, people are going to drop me.
No. I felt invincible.
Wow.
Yeah. It was such a high.
Yeah.
That's the coolest I've ever felt.
Wow. 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 Okay. So the coolest we've ever felt has both been at like parties where people are praising us.
where we're kind of drunk and our perceptions are probably being affected. We're like, I'm crushing it.
That's actually a really good point. Who knows if anybody really even cared or noticed. Yeah. But in my mind, it was the best night ever. Interesting. That was such a good storytelling. I feel like I can visualize that party very well.
Maybe I'll post a picture.
Yeah, do it. We'll post it on our social medias. Let's head on over to the listeners. We got a lot of listener stories. I'm really touched. Thank you all for submitting your stories of times when you felt cool.
Yeah. So let's, should we just hump in? Should we hump in?
Oh, God.
which is a mix of hop and jump.
Let's hop on over. We're going to hop on over to our first cool story. Let's hop on over to our first listener's story submitted by John Rossetti. John writes, I was working at the Venture Brothers.
Cool.
First of all, very cool. Just right there. Awesome show. And had been hanging out with my supervisor, who was from Ireland. Her good friend came to visit the States, and traveling with her was her boyfriend, Boz, a bass player and new vocalist for the oink band, The Stranglers. Dennis,
no
help
idea
me out.
What, that is. What is it? No idea what that is.
Okay. Leaving me in the alert. Boz was a storyteller, funny, gregarious, and friendly. Hanging out, drinking in the Lower East Side, and going back to their apartment where Baz played some tunes. This is all so cool. My supervisor snapped pictures all along the way. When I saw the black and white shots of us hanging and walking down the street, it was probably the only time I ever felt as though I looked cool in a photograph. Whew. Thank you, John.
So cool. Yeah.
So cool. And see, perfectly embodies what I'm talking about here, that coolness is fleeting.
It's a photograph.
I'm so glad he said this, because it's me being at that party for a little bit and then going away forever. I don't want to see those people ever again. Having that moment of time in a photograph, there's so much mystery behind it, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of project all your ideas of coolness onto. Also, there's something cool about a black and white photo, am I right?
Yeah.
Not even
color. Lower
East
Side, New York City, black and white photo.
Come on. I really want to know what an oink band is, though.
I think our producer can
our producer
look into that.
Is gonna
He's
look
shaking
up
his
what
head.
An oink band is.
He's looking put upon. He's sighing. Although, putting his head in his hands.
I also just Googled it.
I can't be bothered. Maybe Google oink band The Stranglers.
What? Okay, draw.
Or
no,
oink
I don't.
Music, The Stranglers. I don't know. Look.
I don't know. That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, Dennis.
That's cool.
Everything about that was cool. The Venture Brothers line. Boz, the bass player. I mean.
Yeah. Bass players are cool.
Bass players are super cool.
When I think of like cool times in my life, a lot of that stuff is like first impressions, but also a lot of stuff from college. Like I went to art school in New York City. Cool.
Cool.
And in the early 2000s, neutral. And a lot of my memories are like going up like punk shows and like Riot Girl and like getting wasted and, you know, I don't know, just like hurting myself physically.
Oh God.
Yeah. I don't know. I drank too much in college.
Yeah.
And drinking's not cool, is it?
Well, I
think what's the message we're trying to send you?
Well, I also think like drinking like that and like partying to that level, it's like cool for a moment in time, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're doing that like chronically, it becomes not cool. you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I had to learn, I had to really learn my limits, and I was a slow learner.
Aren't we all? Cool.
Yeah.
Moving on to our next listener, Dennis, you want to read this one?
I'll take this one. Yes.
I just saw Chris's note.
What was his note?
His current guess is that oink is the typo for oink.
Oh my God. We had, we got to, all right, we got to address this.
I was Googling oink music for so long.
Me too. This listeners are like,
like, what's oink music?
Listeners are losing their minds. Well, it turns out our producer deduced that oink is probably a typo for punk. Strangers are a punk band. O is right next to the P. I is right next to the U. And so that was probably a typo. So
I feel embarrassed.
We're keeping all that in because we are, because when you're cool, you don't care.
I was positive oink music was a thing.
It sounded like a real thing.
I know so little about music and everything out there, so I was like, that's absolutely a thing, and I'm not cool enough to know what that is. Immediately just didn't think I was cool enough to know what that is.
And me too.
And now that it was a typo, I feel somehow even less cool.
Yeah, why is it my fault?
Why is it my fault? He was the one with the typo.
All right, John, right back. Let us know.
Okay. All right.
Listener Kate Zhang writes to us, I always joke that I'll never feel cooler than when I was in high school and it was game day and I got to wear my cheer uniform to school. Like when I think back on it, I'm slow motion walking through the locker hallway with whatever music was cool in 2005 playing in the background. That didn't happen because my high school campus had outdoor breezeways instead of hallways, but that's the vibe. So that was her first cool story. Sounds very cool. I can relate to this because, believe it or not, Alan Matthews, I was on my high school's freshman football team.
What?
That's the exact correct reaction.
Just like you famously are like, I don't know anything about sports.
And here's like, what I'll say about that. I don't know anything about sports, and I didn't then. It was freshman year, and the criteria for getting on the freshman high school team at that time in 19-whatever at Garfield High School in New Jersey was to sign up. That was the criteria. And, like, my friends were all on the football team, and I was like, well, I want to hang out with my friends.
Because that's what the cool thing is to do in high school, right? Play football.
I thought so. Well, they were doing it and I just wanted to hang out with my friends.
Right.
I didn't care about football. I didn't know. I assumed stupidly that when you got on the football team, they would explain the rules to you. Right.
I mean, they should at least.
Logically, they should explain the rules. Like if they're going to make you a defensive end, they should tell you what that is, which I was.
They didn't explain anything. They just like put you out there.
Yeah. So I was so bad. I was always way behind everybody else when we ran laps, asthma. I was terrible. Didn't know what I was doing. I was tiny. So why I would go up against like linebackers and I'd get like, it'd be like flicking a pea off a rock. I don't know why that image popped into my head, but that's what it was like. So our high school team played a total of 9 games that season. We lost every single one. We made one touchdown that felt like a fluke. I remember. Yeah. But I remember.
Technical mistake.
The guy who made the touchdown, I remember his last name was LeBou. And I remember they called him that. But anyway, I remember I'd wear my jersey, which is purple, and said Boilermakers on it, which was the mascot of the high school. Oops, security question.
Cut that.
So I wore the purple jersey on game days, and I thought, like, yeah, I'm gonna, Jill Poulter is gonna like notice me. And
was that your high school crush?
Yes, and I'd wear the jersey to school on game days, and nobody gave a shit. And it probably matters that we were terrible, that we never won a single game. And I was like,
but you still felt cool.
I felt cool until like I realized nobody gives a shit. Mm. So I can relate to that feeling of walking down the hall. I was wearing a shirt, a football jersey. Right, it's wild.
Right.
Wild, wild image.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I learned so much about your high school experience. I had no idea. But again, fleeting moment. But Kate, thank you so much for the story. I feel like this is a really good, this epitomizes, especially high school cool, which is its own brand of cool. High school cool is different than general cool, right? It's like its own society. Where you have to figure out where you fit in. She also added, because I'd always aspire to have dogs, I feel very cool when people ask if they could pet my dogs. Dogs are cool.
Dogs are cool.
Dogs are very cool.
She has dogs now, and they're very nice dogs. I know Kate off the air. She's a very cool person.
There you go. Love this. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
Moving right along to our next submission from Kathleen O'Mara. When I first started doing comedy in NYC, I felt very cool. It always feels cool to meet like-minded people trying to do a thing. Agreed. Now it feels deeply uncool. Also agreed. But doing sketch and improv in NYC until about 2016 felt very cool. But when my McSweeney's piece went super viral, I got followed by Rachel Bloom and Mara Wilson. Plus, a lot of just very cool, smart women shared it and followed me, including a NASA scientist. And that made me feel awesome and cool. How beautiful. It is cool to get your work noticed by people you respect.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah. I was just going to say, how do you feel about doing comedy in New York? Cool? Not cool. What's the verdict?
I mean, I think
post 2016.
I think maybe 2015 was when it stopped being cool.
Has it ever been cool?
Maybe not.
Debatable.
How do you feel about, like, here's the thing, like, being cool is like a persona, right?
Yeah.
And so so online cool is like its own type of cool.
Yes, right? That's another genre.
Yeah.
Online cool. Yes. Yeah. You could have like a bajillion Twitter followers, TikTok followers, but it's very curated.
Yeah.
It's very shallow.
It's even phonier and shallow as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, but all instances of coolness are, right? Even high school cool, it's a facade, right?
Yeah.
Your be brief, be gone is shot. Like all of it is a facade.
So is trying to be cool bad?
Trying to be cool is not cool.
But we want to be cool. I want to be cool. I want to be cool.
I want to be cool too. But I think in order to be cool, we have to not want it.
It's like
you can only get it if you don't want it.
Yeah. Feels like
let it go, and if
proverb.
It comes back, it's yours.
Yeah,
if you love something, let it go.
If you want to run for office, then you maybe shouldn't be the one to. I don't know.
Yes, no, that's a perfect. If you want to be president of the United States, you probably shouldn't be president of the United States.
That's an insane
thing to want to be. So I totally hear you. It's like a catch-22.
Yeah. So we'll figure out by the
we'll
end. I think in our final thoughts, we'll talk about whether it's good or bad to try to be or want to be cool.
Yes.
Let's save that. So our next listener story comes to us from Virginia Dickens. This is very niche and it doesn't happen a lot, but I do feel very cool when people recognize me from Twitter.
Oh, here we go.
I get it in the comedy world with people I haven't met before, but I also have gotten it maybe one or two times from people on dating apps. My cousin is a sports writer and we don't follow each other or anything, but one Thanksgiving he was like, you had a super viral tweet. All my friends retweeted it. And I was like, wait, that's my cousin. Maggie Rogers posted one of my tweets on her Instagram stories and that made me feel extremely cool.
Wow.
But I think the greater meaning of all of that is I like when I write something and it really resonates with people that makes me feel super cool, even if it's a stupid tweet. I love it. Mm.
I love this.
Writing something that resonates with people.
Yes. That seems to me like a deeper level of cool, like a less, I know it's on Twitter, which is very superficial, but like that feeling of like connecting with someone through writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep.
Yeah. Do you ever win a prize?
Yes.
All right, let's move on.
I won a writing prize. I wrote an essay in, actually, I don't mean to brag, but I won an essay contest in high school and in college.
Whoa.
And did I feel cool? I did not feel cool. I felt proud, but I did not feel cool for winning an essay contest.
That reminds me of a time in school when I, me and my friends were, I don't remember what we did. We were being, wise asses, class clowns, as you do when you're, you know, a person who grows up to do comedy. And we got in trouble. We got the whole class in trouble. Everybody had to come in and bring in, write a 500 word essay on the meaning of respect or something. And yeah, I was like middle school. And I wrote, and I was so pissed. And I wrote the most like sarcastic thing. My title was like 120 words long. and then I wrote the most sarcastic thing. And apparently, like what I heard after the fact was that the teachers loved it. They thought it was so funny that they pasted it up on the corkboard in the teacher's lounge.
You just found, like, they didn't tell you that. You just, like, found that.
Somebody told me that. I found out somehow.
That's very
funny. I think some teacher who liked me probably told me that.
I wish we could find that letter. Dear teachers, I am so sorry I disrupt your classroom.
It was like the title was like on the meaning of the 100 words. Yeah, and then it was you know, Webster's defines, you know, I don't know. It was like the most made up historical facts and stuff. I don't know.
I think sticking it to authority is cool.
Yes.
Yes.
But then when the man is into it, I don't know. Is that cool? Sticking it to the man, but then the man,
The man's like, we love this.
Yeah, and you're like, yay.
final story? Nope. Penultimate.
One longer one and one shorter one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one comes from Ben Koch. One time in ninth grade, some of my neighborhood friends and I went over to another friend's house for his birthday party, and he had moved a few years before and gone to a different school. So none of us knew anything else except each other and our friend whose party it was. There was very little adult supervision. Uh-oh. And so it all felt very grown up. And I made everybody laugh a few times at the beginning of the party. Nice.
Uh-huh.
And then just started getting along with everyone there the whole time. And in my memory, I was the life of the party. Oh my God, this is my cool story. And just vibing and hanging with these cool kids I didn't know. And this one very cute girl started kind of hanging on me. I love the way he's telling this. And we talked a bunch. I pretty much ditched my friends who were not being as social as I was. Yeah, ditch those losers, Ben. Cool. They can't keep up. I left and felt like I was just vibrating with coolness. And I never talked to a single one of them ever again, nor should you, Ben. And it was the only time I ever felt like the life of the party. Oh, Ben, I can bond with you over this experience because I've had the same exact one.
It sounds like, so it was ninth grade. It sounds like there probably wasn't alcohol involved. So maybe it's just a thing.
Probably not.
Maybe it's just a thing about parties and not so much about drinking.
There is, like, I definitely think people can get intoxicated off of social vibes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times people are like, oh, it's the alcohol. It's like, maybe a little bit, but I think part of it is like, you're so high on the excitement and the social aspect of it, you know? Agree?
Yeah, I think those times when you like are at one of those things and you're vibing, the feeling those vibes and high off the excitement, and you get into like a flow state.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, yeah. Like, I remember like a few times in my life where I felt like I've gotten in a flow state of just like making everybody laugh, either from just talking or from doing a character or something. And it's just like hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting.
Yep.
Everything is landing.
Exactly.
That feels very cool.
But then you got to leave. Once you hit that rule of three,
you got to go out on top.
Get out. All right. And let's
thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. We'll have to chat. We'll have to chat about our experiences.
Yeah. And then a quick one from Candace Boysen. Hi, Candace. One time during the height of the pandemic, a teen saw my tie-dye sweatshirt and said, cool shirt. Coolest moment of my life.
Amazing.
Sunglasses teens, emoji.
Wait, as soon as she said teen, I got so nervous.
A teen is the arbiter. Absolute final word
final
on cool.
Word on cool. At 100%. Mm-hmm. I remember in college, so not even being that far out from high school, I did. I was like a senior in college, and we had to do like a workshop for a local high school. And I walked into this high school and I was petrified. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm older than these people. Like what? And I was just like, I'm not wearing the right clothes. Everyone here is cooler than me. They're all going to make fun of me. Teenagers are terrifying.
Yes. They're very scary.
And they set the tone for what's in and what's not in. I have a middle part right now because Gen Z told me that middle parts are in. And I'm listening to them because I give them that authority. We give them that authority.
That's also why I have a middle part. It's definitely not because I'm losing my hair in a weird way. So what are our takeaways then from all of this?
I mean, that teenager thing really triggered me.
Yeah, you're sweating.
I'm sweating.
So number one, what's cool? Is it good? Number two, I guess, is it good to strive to be cool?
Or like, what's the perfect way to be cool too?
What's the perfect way to be cool? Has coolness in your mind? What's a cool person changed from between now and when you were in college?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so what's coolness?
Let's take these one at a time. What is coolness? I think coolness is a performance.
Mm.
To an audience that displays confidence, mastery, and inhibition.
You mean like a lack of inhibitions?
Yes, that's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant. A lack of inhibitions.
Yeah. I think when you don't care so much, maybe that's, but then again, I don't know. I feel like my definition of coolness has changed from when I was a kid. Like now I think empathy is cool. I don't know. Just me. I think empathy is cool. And people who have empathy are very cool.
I
think because they're not afraid to be vulnerable.
Yes.
And be real. And when you are not afraid, that's cool.
You know, being mean is cool in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not cool as an adult.
Snap, snap, snap.
Well, at least it was when I went to high school. I don't know. I feel like Gen Z might be nicer, to be honest. I feel like they're okay. I have no idea. This is all anecdotal, but
I don't know either. I have no idea. So,
you know, like the stereotypical, like when I think of high school, like all the cool people are mean, right? But I don't think meanness is cool.
Not cool.
Not cool. Okay. So I think we nailed the definition.
Nailed it.
What was the next question?
Is it good to strive to be cool?
To strive to be cool. Is it good to strive to be cool? No. I think the destination to coolness is not a straight path. Hmm. I think you have to strive for other things. I think you have to strive to be a good guitar player. I think you have to strive to be empathetic with people. I think you have to strive to like find clothes that, you know, really speak to you style-wise. Those are the things you have to try to do first. And then cool is a byproduct. You can't get to cool directly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think those people.
I made a diagram.
it says cool at the top with an under. It's underlined, and then there's three arrows.
Yes.
Going up from a common vertex.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's how you get to cool. The way you get to cool is to not aim for cool. You're aiming for these other things. And then I guess I have to add one more arrow that you end up here.
Yeah. I think those people that I thought were weirdos in high school, I would now think are cool.
Right.
Because they're doing their own thing. They're being true to themselves. They're following their own inner whatever. And they don't care what other people think.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think the not caring has a lot to do. Like not caring about people's judgment. Not like not caring about people, right?
Yeah.
Care about people, but like not caring about the judgment, the perception.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it.
Can I show you my guitar? Can I show you my guitar?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Vamp.
We'll just play some oink music. What would oink music even sound like? That's a beautiful color, by the way.
Yeah, it's like a surf green or seafoam green with a white pickguard. It's a Fender Telecaster, so you can Google what that looks like. It's got a maple fretboard. We can take a snapshot of this for Instagram or whatever. Ooh, isn't that so pretty?
Can you play it?
No,
just like a little ditty, just a little doodad. It's a little oink.
That's it.
Oh my god, that little is very cool.
Guitars are cool.
Guitars are cool. If we've learned one thing, it's that guitars are objectively cool.
Oh, doesn't it sound so? And that wasn't even plugged in.
But I think they are, and I think it's in line with my definition because it's mastery, right? Like you're like mastery of the skill, uninhibited when you're playing it, right? You're just like in the flow. You're just in your own flow. You don't really care about people looking at you or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember the other thing I said, but
yeah, all three of those things.
Right?
Yeah, that third thing that we can't remember definitely plays into it. Folks.
We did it. We answered what coolness was. We answered if you should try to strive to be cool, which is now. And the perfect way to be cool, which was our final question.
Yeah.
Is to follow your passion. Right?
Yeah.
Follow your passion.
Yeah.
That's what's cool. I think what's cool is people like being super excited about doing something that they're passionate about and being so passionate about it that they don't care what people think of them.
Yeah. And don't judge yourself too harshly, and also don't judge others too harshly. So you don't care what other people think, but you're also not projecting that onto other people and being like, I don't like what they're doing. Because that's not cool.
Beautiful words of wisdom.
Folks, we did it.
We did it. Another episode answered the question. In the books.
We're always looking for more listener questions, listener feedback, listener stories. So if you've got one, drop us a line at our Instagram account. We're at Pursuit of Perfectness, or email us at pursuitofperfectness@gmail.com. We're going to solicit some more opinions on our next show topic. And if you like what you heard, rate us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, tell your friends. Thanks to Keith Burgun for our theme music. Any final more words, Ellen?
And
or
thanks
should we...
to Chris DeLuca for producing.
Of course. Thank you so much to Chris DeLuca for keeping us on track. A very cool individual himself. And Ellen, I just want to say, I think you're cool.
Oh, Dennis, I think you're cool too.
Thank you. I wasn't fishing, but I like what I caught. All right, folks, until next time, be a little less hard on yourself.
Bye.
Bye.